Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman with you. Connor Newt broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is a Titans reaction Monday. First preseason game in the books. Titans fall 29-7 to Tampa Bay on Saturday night. And it may not be a Tuesday, but we have Teron Davenport with us for the full show. TD moving his schedule around a little bit with joint practices going on during our show tomorrow. He is with us all 3 hours today, live from Atlanta. TD, thanks for coming on and moving the schedule around a little bit to make this work. We're working on it. We got TD's with us from Atlanta today. With his travel issues in Tampa Bay, I don't blame him for getting there early and making sure that he doesn't miss any of the joint practices tomorrow. But we will have TD with us for the full show. Again, Titans losing 29-7. Cam Ward making his debut. And TD, we got you now.
Yeah, how we sound?
There we go. We got TD now. TD, thanks for making this work for us. Should be a fun show.
Yeah, for sure. It's always good to get in here and talk some shop, man. We got the joint practices tomorrow. Like you said, got here bright and early. I guess in a couple segments, we could talk about some airport woes and some airline woes. In my case, I'll definitely look forward to doing that. But yeah, man, there's a lot to go over.
Yeah, I was going to say, I put on there that I had some travel snafus over the weekend, and I know you did too, so we'll talk about that coming up later in the hour. But let's get into Cam Ward's debut. Cam Ward goes 2 series, 5 of 8, 67 yards, ends his day with a touchdown drive on a 1 yard Tony Pollard run. TD, overall, I think it was a solid day for Cam Ward. It wasn't anything spectacular. It's not like we had 3 different SportsCenter top 10 throws from Cam Ward rolling across his body, but in that second drive, he worked within the offense, made one bad decision that he got away with, and ended up with 6 points. I feel like in terms of what you could have hoped for Cam Ward, it was pretty solid from the rookie quarterback for his first preseason game.
Yeah, no, it looked good. And I think when you look at everything, just the way he was able to operate, that's a good thing. And like you mentioned, that second drive was solid. It's funny, right? Because the throw that he made, that it hit the DB right in the bad yep. spot, you know, right in the hands, and he dropped it. But that was a throw in which it seemed like he was kind of confused. Like I was trying to figure out if he was throwing it to the tight end running that deep outbreaking route, or to Iu Manor, who was running the go route. Like it was one of those like in between, and I think he got fooled on that, because if you go back and watch it, you kind of see how the safeties rolled a little bit. They tried to show him one look, and they rolled into another. And that's something that Brian Callahan and Denard Wilson have been trying to do. I talked to Monty Hooker about that, and he was saying, you know, show him different looks. And I think he kind of got frozen right there and couldn't get what he normally gets on the ball on that throw, and it was almost picked. But other than that, I mean, look, first and 20, right, after the Ridley penalty, they went back 2 snaps, boom, boom. They got that 20 yards back, plus 3 extra ones and a new set of downs, and they were able to drive. And if you remember last year, this team, if they were anything in 10 or more, anything in long, it was a bad situation. And you got to tip your cap to the guys up front, you know, J.C. Latham and Corey Levin holding it down, and Dan Moore and, you know, Zeitler and Skoronski. They gave Cam time to hang in there. You look at that 27-yard throw to Ridley. They gave him time to go ahead and allow guys to get open, and he could make the throw.
Yeah, you make a good point about first and 20. Holding penalties can just be major drive killers. And you go back to first and 20, and Cam just, it didn't seem to faze him at all. He hits Ridley on back-to-back plays. You get the first down, and you keep it moving. He had a couple of third-down conversions. Again, outside of the one near interception, he was just about as good as you could have hoped for on that drive. You did mention a little bit of confusion on that the play that was almost picked off. It looked like kind of a flood concept to that left side. Like, looked like Ellick was supposed to be kind of clearing it out for the out route there for Chig. But they were both kind of in the same spot. It did, I mean, maybe it wasn't the route concept that was off. Maybe the timing was off. But it was a little bit confusing watching that and seeing where he was trying to go with that football.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was basic, kind of like a high-low concept on the outside, you know. And fortunately for him, the drive stayed alive because I know that people would have gone crazy if he threw that interception. I mean, look, and then I mean, while we're talking about things, you know, that didn't go right, I think you look at that third and five. You had that 3-by-1 to the left, and number two ran, which was Van Jefferson. He ran that deep crosser, or as Coach Dave McGinnis would say, that transcontinental crossing route. And again, you need time to be able to do that, right? And Cam had some time, got flushed out of the pocket a little bit, but that's one of his signature throws, right? Running to the right and throwing back to his left. And you had Van Jefferson starting to clear, but for whatever reason, I don't know if he's being coached out of that. Hey, don't throw across your body and try to make something happen. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but he had Van Jefferson on that. And it was a nice little switch release kind of concept they had. And they had the crosser underneath it too, which allowed the linebacker to kind of like determine where he would go with the football, but Cam ended up throwing it away. You want to get that out of bounds when you throw it away. But I mean, look, we're nitpicking. These are things that a veteran quarterback at times will fall short in. So a rookie doing it in his first series is all good, man. I think there's just stuff to build upon.
Right. You mentioned it. We are nitpicking. He made eight throws. I think six of them were pretty solid. Like the throw to Van Jefferson that in the middle of the field, it was an accurate throw, maybe a little bit late, but it was just good coverage from the DB. You do mention that third down and five. It looked like maybe the stunt kind of confused Cam and he thought he had to bail earlier than he did. And then you're right, the throwaway. You got to get that ball out of bounds. Throw it into the eighth row if you have to, but it's a learning experience for him. And I think the idea in his head was right of, I need to throw this away. He's just got to make sure that that ball doesn't land in the green. That's got to land in the sideline somewhere, as far away from any DB as you can possibly get it.
Exactly. You got to make sure that it's out of play and basically out of touch. Nobody can get to
But overall, TD, the connection with Calvin Ridley looked great. I mean,
it.
the 27-yard play obviously is the one that stands out, where Ridley sits down, finds a hole in coverage. Ward put it right on the money. And then the second one, good throw by Ward, got it over top of the defensive back. Ridley made a nice diving catch. I think the third play, though, was probably the most impressive. I mean, it was pretty tight coverage. Ward put it right on the money. And three catches for 50 yards for Calvin Ridley on two drives. I think you'll take that every day of the week.
Yeah, and I mean that the three catches, you know, was on that second drive, and it was 50 of the 67 passing yards that Ward had, you know, so it was impressive. And I tell you, you mentioned Ridley, right? And so I went back and I rewatched that play that I talked about, and you know, Ridley was number one on that side, and you know what, running that crosser, he was open too. So it's a learning lesson, you know, the pocket is collapsing on him, but you know, these are the types of things that Ward normally does well with, and it's his guy Ridley too. But that connection is definitely there, and they'll keep at it. I'm looking forward to watching. I may have to draft Ridley in my fantasy league, man. Not early, but you know, a little bit later, because I think that might be a sleeper.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of people say that there is not a spot too early to take Calvin Ridley right now, because it feels like Ward is locked in with him. Now, he's going to see a lot of attention from defenses, but I think Ward's going to try and feed Calvin Ridley as much as he possibly can.
Yeah.
TD, I think the two plays that impressed me most with Cam Ward were the two third downs late in the drive, because we had heard throughout the training camp practice so far that maybe where Ward has struggled has been in the red zone. And, you know, in these situations where you have to make a play and the field's tight, there's not a whole lot of green out there. He made a nice throw to Chigakonkwo right at the sticks, put it in there right where he needed to put it. And then Tyler Lockett on a nice little mesh concept. He makes the catch and gets to the sticks too. I think that was pretty impressive to extend that drive on those third downs, and it ends up leading to points.
Yeah, exactly. And being able to come through on third down. I mean, third down and red zone, that's the money situation. And here's the thing, Jake, that I like. You look at that first third down in the second drive, it's 3rd and 9. You know what I mean? That's the time where you see, okay, does does your quarterback have gumption or not? And I think he showed that he does. And you look at the route that he was able to get to Chigga Conquo, just kind of like a little spot up route right over top of the tackle. And he did a good job, you know, kind of looking that linebacker off and threading it right in there. I think these are the types of things that you want to see your guy be able to do. So this is yet another thing to build on.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Again, we got Teron Davenport with us for all 3 hours of the show today. Usually it's TD Tuesdays, but you know, right now the schedule is all over the place right now, especially with the joint practice in Atlanta. So TD joining us live from Atlanta ahead of two joint practices for the Titans and Falcons this week, and then preseason game number two on Friday. Plenty to get to, recapping the Titans' loss to the Buccaneers in preseason game number one on Saturday. We did mention the offensive line, and I do want to get to that next. It was against backups, and it wasn't the full five for the Titans' offensive line, but it looked really good, and we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jay Kleiman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
You touched on Cameron Ward's play on the field, but how was the operation getting everything in and out of the huddle?
Great.
Sure, yeah, we didn't. I mean, we had no operational issues, no procedure issues. We got lined up. We were never really down on the clock too far. It was good. He even checked the play at the line of scrimmage, which was good to see him have that kind of confidence to operate. It was good. I thought the operation was clean. He did what we would hope he would do in his first action, and he's going to get, you know, more of it to come.
That was Brian Callahan after the game on Saturday talking about his rookie quarterback, Cam Ward, how he was able to operate in his first live game action in the NFL. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newton, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Reacting to the Titans' 29-7 loss on Saturday to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in preseason game number one. TD, the offensive line has been a we'll say a negative to be nice over the last 4 years for the Titans. Really just has not been good, especially at the tackle positions. And I understand it was Buccaneers backups, and you would expect your offensive line to be pretty good against backup players on the other side. But it's good to see that it actually was good, and that pocket on the Calvin Ridley 27-yard catch may have been the best that a Titans quarterback has had since 2021. So exciting to see that the offensive line, at the very least, looks like it's going to be serviceable. We got TD. We'll check in with TD. Make sure he can hear us. We can hear him. But the Titans' offensive line is it's solid in terms of the investment that they've made. And Dan Moore, we got you, TD.
Yeah,
there
yeah,
we go.
I don't know what happened
there. TD, the offensive line, Dan. Like I thought on that play to Calvin Ridley, Dan Moore, J.C. Latham. They both were on islands out there. It wasn't like they were getting help. That I mean, again, it was the third and fourth edge rushers for Tampa Bay. But to see Cam Ward have all the time in the world back there, nobody's at his feet, no one's in his face, it's really good to see. And hopefully a sign of things to come for the Titans O-line.
Yeah, and you mentioned how those guys were on the island. That's true. But then I think also when you look at, hey, the Buccaneers had their backups in, Kevin Zeitler was not there. You had Andrew
right.
Rupchich, who is a backup. Lloyd Cushenberry will probably be off of PUP this week, but you had Corey Levin, who's a backup. So you got two out of five backups on your side too. So again, like I said, man, any win that you could take on the offensive line wise, if I'm the Titans, I'm taking that as a W, and I'm just looking to build right. upon that. I think that's the best thing to do.
And TD, we've even seen that the offensive line the last couple of years have struggled in preseason games. I remember, I think it was the Patriots preseason game at home 2 years ago where Mike Vrabel had Andre Dillard playing into the third quarter because he wasn't pleased with the way he was playing. It's like you had your starting yeah. left tackle playing with the twos and threes deep into a preseason game just to try and get him right. Like, Dan Moore, as much as the numbers may have not been great last year, he looked the part on Saturday night, albeit small sample size against backups, but it really is nice to see Titans tackles look the part in a preseason game where you're expected to pretty much dominate and give your quarterback clean pockets, and they did exactly that.
Yeah, and that pocket, like you mentioned, in that on that 27-yard completion, I mean, good gracious. It as I watched that play, it took me back to the combine when Cameron Ward, he was asked about holding the ball too long. And he was like, if I don't have pressure and I'm able to hang in the pocket and give my guys extra time to get open, what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? And he's 100% right. That's exactly what he did there. I'm not sure the snap-to-throw time, but I would imagine it was a good 3 seconds or so. And those are the types of things that you want to be able to have as a play caller too, because now, like, if I'm Brian Callahan, I'm like, okay, you know what? Half of this play call sheet is actually available to me again because I can actually get the daggone protection to have guys run routes that might take a little bit longer to develop instead of always having to go to the short passing game and DBs knowing, hey, I know my guy's going to get home before I even have to truly cover, so I could sit on top of this and then maybe take some chances I normally wouldn't because I know that they're not going to have time to double move or do any of that stuff anyway because of how terrible the offensive line is.
Yeah, and you mentioned looking back to the combine for Cam Ward. It reminded me of, was it in the bowl game or late in the season where Cam Ward was just sitting back there and just let his feet stop moving? Like, and that's obviously not something you want. Like, you want your quarterback to keep his footwork consistent, but where he just goes flat-footed and then makes a throw because he had so much time back there, that was what it made me think of. That it's nice when you have a quarterback like Cam Ward who he's poised back there. He's relaxed that he actually had the time to sit back there, make his reads, and make a strong throw. And it was good to see that, especially after that first drive where we mentioned on that third down, he probably had more time than he thought, where he saw the stunt, he kind of bailed out to the right. If he stood in there and looks over the middle, Calvin Ridley's wide open. Like, it was good to see maybe some development there of, okay, I trust my offensive line. They're going to give me time, and I can make this play deep down the field.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's what you like to see, man. A guy be able to have that, and not all the time, but from time to time, you know, that arrogant arm strength, right? Where it's like he knows, I know I can make this throw, and I don't really need to put my whole core into it. I'm just going to chill out, make the throw, and run over to the sideline, high five, and keep it moving, you know? And you love to see that type of stuff.
Yeah, good to see from the offensive line. And you mentioned Kevin Zeitler wasn't out there. Lloyd Cushenberry wasn't out there. Chance that we see Lloyd Cushenberry this week, and that would be a huge step in the right direction for this offensive line because we've seen for the Titans, yeah, tackles are obviously the most important position on that offensive line, but you remember the 7-game losing streak a couple years ago for the Titans. That kind of coincided for when Ben Jones went out for the season. So having a good center is so important, and Corey Levin is solid. Like, I don't think anybody feels like it's a massive hole when Corey Levin is out there. But if you can get Lloyd Cushenberry and he is healthy and he is back to his old self, which coming off an Achilles injury, it's never going to be easy. But if you can get that five out there that you feel good about, this Titans offensive line could go from being a massive negative for this team to maybe being a slight positive.
No doubt, Jake. And it's funny you mentioned Cushenberry. We were over there. So I managed to get there for the last 5 minutes of the Bucks, the Bucks practice, right? And so we're there, and the practice is over, and we all came together, and we were standing on the sideline, and across the field, they had the little thing set up where Cam was going to speak, right? And so Everett comes over to us, and he's like, hey, man, you guys got to hustle over there because they're about to run sprints. And Cushenberry happened to be right next to me, and he started running. And I looked, and I had to, you know what I'm saying, take it back to a little bit, you know, back to 2000. And I had to put the Jets on him a little bit. I said, ain't no way I'm letting somebody with a bad will beat me to my destination. And he was like, hey, man, this will ain't bad. So that lets you know that he's ready to come back. So it's going to be pretty cool seeing him out there if he does get out there this week.
Right, and I remember, was it right after the season, like locker room cleanout day, you guys talked to Lloyd, and I think he said that he felt like he was in a really good spot, that he felt, honestly, I think the timetable honestly had him on track to be ready for the start of training camp. So to give him a couple extra weeks is important, because an Achilles injury, as we've seen in all sports for a lot of different players, it can really be a career changer. But I think if they're willing to put him out there for these Atlanta joint practices, it shows you that they think he's in a really good spot, because it could make sense to be like, hey, you know, it's gonna, the competition's going to be up a notch in these joint practices. Let's hold him back until we get back to Nashville. If they do put him out there the next couple days, I think that shows that they feel like he's in a good spot to be ready for the regular season.
Yeah, and if they do put him out there, I just want to see, like, how much work they allow him to get, because you, of course, want to see him be able to come back from injury, but you want to avoid a Kevin Winston Jr. situation where you have the inevitable soreness after a surgery, right? But you also want to make sure that the athlete himself, so thirsty to get back, doesn't overdo it and put himself in a situation where it's like, all right, I need to rest now. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah, going to be interesting this week. Brian Callahan said last week that Cushenberry more likely than L'Jarius Sneed to come off the PUP list this week, and the Titans getting ready for joint practices down in Atlanta starting tomorrow ahead of preseason game number 2 with the Falcons. Coming up next, we do have to talk about the other rookie quarterback performances over the weekend, because that's what Cam Ward is going to be compared to. Shedeur Sanders made his debut. Jackson Dart made his debut. Tyler Shuck made his debut. We'll look around, see how they compare. Obviously, we have to make sure we're comparing fairly here, because those guys played a lot more than Cam Ward did, but we will get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinitix Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at RockTheCradleNashville.org. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt, next man up here on 1025 The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Join Fat Bottom this Saturday for their lucky 13th anniversary party at 844th Avenue North in Nashville. It's a full day of casino-themed fun, live tattoos from Black 13 face painting, balloon art game, and, of course, ice-cold beer. Get a $100 gift card half off while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Plus, don't miss their lucky 13th anniversary party this Saturday at Fat Bottom Brewing Company. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt, next man up here on 1025 The Game. Recapping the Titans 29-7 loss to Tampa Bay on Saturday in preseason game number 1. Talked a lot about Cam Ward, and Ward had a solid debut. 5 of 8, 67 yards, ended the day with a touchdown drive going 65 yards on 10 plays. But the talk of the NFL TD is Shedeur Sanders. After he went, I believe it was 14 of 23, ended up with 2 touchdowns on the day for the Browns in a win against the Carolina Panthers. And I do want to give Shedeur Sanders his flowers, because I watched every throw he made. There's a video on YouTube. I didn't get to watch the game live, but I went back, watched every throw that he made. And he did look good. Like, those 2 touchdown throws were not easy. Those were tight window throws. And so I'm excited for Shedeur Sanders that he had a good day. But anybody who's comparing Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, I think, needs to understand that it's not apples to apples, because Sanders played the better part of 3 quarters in the game while Cam Ward went out for just 2 series.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about getting warm and getting into the feel and the flow of the game. And that's exactly what both Cam Ward and especially Shedeur Sanders said. I mean, he talked about just being able to get into that groove after having not played in a game in so long. Remember, these guys haven't played since what, December, January?
Right.
So it's been a while since they've been in a game. And I think once that after that first drive, both of those guys, and we're talking about Shedeur specifically, you start to see him just kind of get into that rhythm, get into that feel. And you got to remember, he's a very rhythmic, systematic type of quarterback. And he can go off structure when need be, but he's more of like that pocket passer that a lot of these GMs have wanted for so long. And that's why it's just funny to me how he drafted, didn't, you know, get drafted till the 5th round, but that's a different discussion.
Chip from Mount Juliet on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyIndia.com, says they've decided to erect a statue outside of the stadium for Shedeur Sanders after his preseason game number one. It is true that the Cleveland fans, they're excited about Shedeur Sanders, but I do want to point out that he's still probably not the top guy on the depth chart, even after that that performance on Friday night.
You know, and that text is the Shedeur Sanders experience in a nutshell to me. Because I've never seen a prospect where people get so upset about any degree of success. Why does that statement have to be made? Why can't the fans be excited about a quarterback, a fifth-round quarterback? We know he shouldn't have been, but why can't fans be excited that he had an outing? We know if Cameron Ward, if Ward Pass had two touchdowns, right? Everybody would be going crazy.
Right.
You know, so why can't Browns fans be excited about Shedeur doing well? That kid is it's disgusting to me how people get so upset about his success, but they have so much joy about his failure. There were parties being thrown every single round he dropped.
Yep.
People were so happy and rejoicing, and it's just it's crazy to me. It couldn't be me. I would never relish in another person's failure, and or even shortcoming or bad experience. So it's crazy to me to try to comprehend how some of these people are doing that with Shedeur.
Yeah, and I wanted to make the point of, you know, let's not compare the two because they had very different opportunities in their first preseason game. I went back and looked. Like, Shedeur Sanders, if he had only played two drives, he went 3 of 7 for 30 yards with a punt and a turnover on downs. So, like, that's the difference, is that Sanders got to get into the game. But I also want to put it out there for – I saw a bunch of Titans fans, and not even Titans fans, just people in general saying, like, wow, Shedeur Sanders is being covered like he's the number one pick and Cam Ward is the fifth round pick. Like, I learned this when Marcus Mariota got drafted second, and like, I grew up a Titans fan, and I was in high school when Marcus was coming up his first couple years in the league, and I always hated people who said Jameis Winston was better than Marcus Mariota. Like, that was I always wanted to compare the two and, you know, defend Marcus against Jameis, but like, they're playing their own careers. Like, yeah, obviously in the media, you want to compare these two together because they were drafted in the same class. And, you know, up until probably a month before the draft, there was discussions that they could go number one and number two in the draft this year. So you're going to compare them. But Shedeur Sanders' career doesn't have any effect on Cam Ward's career. It doesn't. So we don't have to get lost in these comparisons and who did better in their first preseason game. It's not a big deal. Like, Cam Ward is going to have his own career regardless of what Shedeur Sanders does. And all the comparisons and stuff, especially after one preseason game, it's all premature. And we'll see what these guys end up being. But it's not going to be determined based on the fact that Sanders had a pretty nice day on Friday and that Cam Ward only played two series on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot more to go, and it's okay for both of them to do well. Like, it's not a bad thing. So you're right. You don't have to compare the two. I mean, look, it's no secret that Shedeur was my favorite quarterback to watch coming out. But,
yep.
I mean, look, Cameron Ward has done a solid job since he's gotten here. And I think the fans should be excited that he's here. It's just, to me, you could be excited that Cam is here and is succeeding. But that doesn't mean you have to be upset if Shedeur succeeds as well.
Right. And honestly, if you want to crown a winner of the weekend among rookie quarterbacks, it's probably Jackson Dart. I think he had the best game out of all of them. And I went back and did the same exercise of what did he do through his first two drives? Did he get into a rhythm? 6 of 8, 91 yards and a touchdown for Jackson Dart on his first two drives. He ended up having a really good day. That touchdown pass was, I mean, it was a dime over the shoulder, dropped it in the bucket to his wide receiver. So, honestly, I thought it was a good weekend overall for rookie quarterbacks. Tyler Shuck had a little bit of struggles early. He hit a deep touchdown later in the game. I mean, it was wide open. I don't think it was like a a big time throw or whatever they classify those as in PFF or whenever they're grading them. But overall, for a quote unquote weak rookie quarterback class, and again, it's the preseason, they're not playing with starters, they may not be playing against starters, but overall, it seemed like all these guys got off on the right foot for their first game action in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, look, let's talk about Jackson Dart a little bit, because, you know, this is a guy that he, watching him at the combine, Jake, I was like, wait a second. This dude is out here slinging it. And then you see him, what he did against the Bills. I thought it was pretty cool. He got to go against the Bills, you know, in his first taste of live NFL action. He just so happens to be a big Josh Allen fan, so he got to take the field for the first time in front of the guy that he looks up to. There was a throw, as you mentioned, that touchdown one. I just love the fact, like, they come up there, it's cover one, right, and you got single high, and he looked over at 81, and, you know, he saw Dane Jackson, who I really liked out of Pittsburgh, by the way. He saw him on him, and he said, you know what, we're going downtown. And there was no hesitation. He caught the snap, and he put it out there in a nice place before the safety could get over there, and it was a big play, touchdown. You love those things from a young quarterback, just going out there and doing it like that. I thought that was impressive.
Yeah, Jackson Dart, there's a reason why he ended up moving up draft boards. And, you know, I think he had a good career at Ole Miss, maybe just didn't win the big games. But Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, like, those guys, their backs are against the wall, and I don't think they would have hitched their wagons to Jackson Dart unless they really believed in him. Yeah. TD, I know, obviously, you being from, you know, right on the 95 corridor in Philly, and I grew up just outside D.C., did you see the video of Jackson Dart just not knowing what the easy pass was?
No.
It's pretty funny. He's going through this toll, and I guess they're doing like a little documentary series, and they have a video of him, and he just rolls through. He's like, yeah, I don't really know what I'm doing here. I just kind of drive through and hope nothing happens. I'm like, man, you're about to get a ton of tickets in the mail, Mr. Dart.
Yeah, those things are coming, man, because, you know, they're taking pictures of the license plates.
Yeah, he's from Utah. Obviously, he went to USC and then Ole Miss, so I just thought that was funny. But Jackson Dart had a good weekend. Shedeur Sanders had a good weekend. I thought Cam Ward had a good weekend. This is going to be an important week for Cam Ward, TD, and we're going to get more into the joint practices later in the show. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got the one joint practice against Tampa on Thursday of last week. You get two drives in the preseason game on Saturday. But now you got back-to-back days, joint practices, where you're facing this Falcons defense a lot over the next 2 days. We'll see how much he plays in the preseason game on Friday. But I think we're going to learn a lot about Cam Ward's growth. If he can take what he learned from the last week in Tampa and take another big step against the Falcons this week, I think that's going to show a lot in terms of development for Cam Ward.
Yeah, it is going to show a lot in terms of development. And I think I think the offense is in good hands. I think the future is bright. But again, you can't get too high off of this. Just like if he were to throw two interceptions, you don't get too low. Just ride the wave and understand that it's a process and it's a building thing. And that's one of the things that they always talk about. Whenever you ask them, hey, what will make Cameron Ward ready to start the season opener against Denver? They say, man, I'm not thinking about Denver. We're thinking about tomorrow. Like, it's got to stack the days and get to that point where he's ready to start.
Yeah. One preseason game is not going to determine how he plays this season. It's another step in the development process. And like you said, he's got to stack the days together. I actually went back over the weekend and was just looking at, you know, some other quarterbacks, what they did in their first preseason game. Like, it's not always going to be perfect. Like, Lamar Jackson was 7-for-18 in his first preseason game with the Ravens. Josh Allen was 9-of-19 in his first preseason game. Different prospects, of course, but it's like, you know, you can't take what a guy does in his first true game action and say that's going to be what he's going to be for the full season or his career. So, exciting stuff from Cam Ward. I think there was a lot of good. There was some bad. But overall, we have to see where it leads. And this week will show us if he's able to build off of some of the things he did well and learn from some of the mistakes that he had. I mean, he threw a pick on Thursday in the joint practices, nearly threw one in the game on Saturday. If he has a good week of practice against Atlanta, I think that shows us that he's going to be ready to roll for week one against Denver.
Yeah, it shows a progression. It shows work towards that point where he'll be ready, no doubt.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have thoughts on Cam Ward's preseason debut on Saturday, where he goes 5 of 8, 67 yards, and ends with a touchdown drive on a one-yard run from Tony Pollard. We have some travel snafus we want to get into here to wrap up our number one. I know TD had some struggles in Tampa. I had a little trouble in Detroit yesterday. We'll wrap up our number one with that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Wrapping up our number one here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newt with you until noon. Recapping the Titans' loss to the Bucks in preseason game number one over the weekend. TD and I have some travel stories to swap here, but before we do that, let's go to our phone lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Adam in Portland is called in wanting to talk about Cam Ward. Adam, good morning. What you got?
Hey, TD, I thought you looked like a stud on TV the other day, man. You're killing it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Here's the problem I got, Jake, is that, yeah, Cam did everything I wanted him to do, which I did not want him to do any of the, like, flicks or the, like, off-timing stuff. I didn't want him to do anything weird. I just wanted him to get in there and run it. 5 of 8, fine. He missed some open stuff. I'm fine with that because I think he's smart enough. He's going to figure it out, and next time it'll be a little bit better. The problem I got, dude, is even in short sample size and in preseason, our defense sucks so bad. I want to keep it focused on Cam, but I feel like our defense gave me nothing. And even if you say, like, they were bragging about him making a couple of, like, no-gain run stops, I'm like, dude, this is bad. Like, if that's what you're reaching for. But Cam's going to be, like, he's going to have so much pressure to score. He's going to have to score a lot of points, man. And so I worry about him in that regard. Like, I feel like he did everything he was supposed to do in the first game, but the defense made me worry for Cam.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Adam.
Adam, hold that. Let's not let him go.
Adam. He dropped.
Okay. Well, I'm sure if we were to ask Adam if he felt Jeffrey Simmons is important to the defense, I'm sure he would say, yeah, you know what? He is pretty important. Simmons wasn't on the field, right? So, I mean, look, I'm not going to say the defense looked good. It didn't. But, I mean, it's one game. As I always say, don't get too low, don't get too high. You see what's going on and make the adjustments. And I think that's really the thing. But while we're talking about defense, can we talk about James Williams?
Yeah.
And what he was able to do out there on the field without Cody Barton on the field with him?
Yep.
Right? And how he set the tone and how he came down and he was dumping. Now, there was a play, that was actually the run play. That was on Jalen Kimber. He got sucked inside and the running back got outside. But I think overall, you look at James Williams, he's a guy that is continuing to make that switch, right, from safety to linebacker. And I talked to him a lot about just how things come up on you a lot faster. And how much more disciplined you have to be with your eyes because things are happening so much faster. And he's seeing that, and that's one of the things that Cody Barton really helped him with, is just making sure his eyes are in the right place and he's reading the right keys. Because the thing with a guy like him that's so aggressive and a downhill thumper, teams will start misdirecting him, right, and make him go to the wrong gap. And next thing you know, another gap is open, and the running back blows through it, and it's a house call. So those are some of the positive things. But Adam is right. The defense did not play well. They did not. And there's a lot that has to be done in order to get that right. You know, they were able to stop the bleeding on that first drive and force the field goal. But that first drive, you know, they're moving down the field.
Right. And you do have to make the point of how many starters were not out there for the Titans defense. I mean, Sweat and Simmons, obviously the big ones. And L'Jarius Sneed, no matter what your thoughts are on him, he's expected to be a starting cornerback for this team. He wasn't out there either. Cody Barton. So, but James Williams, you're right. He is the one who flashed on Saturday night, starting from the very jump. That hit on the kickoff return, like, especially, you don't get as much of a running start on those kickoffs anymore with the new rules. He came up and thumped that returner. So I thought it was a really good step for James Williams. And that's a guy who maybe ends up being the steal of that draft for the Titans 2 years ago. A guy who, again, transitioning from safety and needed a little bit of work, didn't play much last year. But the fact that he's already listed as your starting inside linebacker next to Cody Barton, that is huge for him. And I think we're going to see a lot of growth, not just from now to the start of the season, but by the end of the year, maybe he is one of your better defensive players.
Yeah, maybe. And I think, you know, having a guy like Cedric Gray behind him is something else. But, I mean, one guy that is viewed as a starter is Daryl Baker, right? And you look at the – right from the rip, right, the first play – you got that deep pass to Jalen McMillan. You know, he's got to pick that up and stay with him. You know, you saw McMillan be able to run away from him on that kind of like a post type of route. You can't allow that to happen, right? And then you look at a little bit later, Emeka Ibuka. Man, Ibuka, he's nice, by the way. But, you know, he ran that deep outbreaking route, and you would like to see a guy like Imani Hooker be able to jump on that and take that away as opposed to allowing it to be open. And right there, I mean, you're talking about, Jake, you're talking about, what, 46 yards, you know, on two plays,
yeah,
right? So, and from two guys who are starters. So, like, to Adam's point, you should – I'm not going to say be concerned, but you should be on some, like, yeah, that's got to get better. I'm going to keep watching that and see, because these guys behind – the front line, like on the back end, they got to be able to hold it down if the front end is not able to get there.
Yeah, and I think the second drive probably was the most concerning, that they just could not get off the field. I mean, that's a 10-minute drive.
Yeah.
You had a sack on that drive too, which usually, like, if Jihad Ward gets that sack, you put him behind the chains, you feel pretty good, and you still couldn't get off the field. So I do agree. There's reason for concern, but also it is just preseason game number one. You didn't have a good amount of your starters. So, you know, I don't think it's any reason to freak out, but it's also not comforting to see what happened for the defense on Saturday night.
Jake, you mentioned Jahi Ward. You know where he's from, right?
Where is he from?
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, there we go. Philly guy. And, you know, he had the... Was that the only sack Titans had?
Yeah.
Yep. So Jihad Ward, you know, he was the Lorenzo Carter replacement. He had one more sack than Carter had last year, and he's already got one in the preseason. We're going to continue recapping the game from Saturday night. I want to talk Tajay Spears' injury coming up in the next hour, and also the backup quarterbacks, which was not great. That'll be in the 10 o'clock hour. But before we wrap up this hour, TD, I know I had a little travel issue yesterday, but I do want to hear your story of your Tampa travel, because we were on the air on Thursday when I saw your tweet saying that you are not going to make it to Tampa till 11 a.m., and you rolled in to the joint practice just as it was wrapping up. What happened there that led you to get to Tampa, what, 12 hours or so or more later than you were expecting?
Yeah, shame on me. I normally fly American. I'll veer away and get on Delta, which is what I flew here to Atlanta. But I got away from the norm, and I got on United. And, you know, I got there just a little bit before the door closed, and the door was already closed. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And it turned out there was a company-wide outage. And so with that outage, there was something with the weight for planes, like being able to, the weight scale. So you'll know the balancing. You ever be on the plane and you'll see them say, hey, you know what?
Right.
I need you to move from here to 14A, and you move, and that's for the balancing. That mechanism was out of whack across the country. So there's a whole bunch of planes being grounded, right? Mine ended up being pushed back. I was supposed to take off at 6:15. We ended up taking off at like 9 o'clock, right? And so like right around 8:40 when they're boarding, you know, I'm like, well, wait a minute. Before I board this plane, I need to know that my connector is going to be there. And they're like, oh, well, it's a company-wide outage and they're delayed too. And I said, well, how do I know they're delayed 3 hours just like I am. And, well, you know, you'll be okay. I said, well, listen, when's the next one getting out after my flight? And they said, oh, well, yours is the last of the night. I said, I'm not about to get on this plane and not know that I'm going to make it tonight. And sure enough, they say, oh, well, you know, you got to get on. If you want to go, you got to get on. And so I get on the plane, and we're like 20 minutes away from D.C., at Dulles International. We're 20 minutes away. And I get a buzz on my phone, and I look at it. I say, God dang. 8:40 a.m., that was my flight, 8:40 a.m.
Oh, no.
And it arrived at 11 o'clock, 11:05, right? That's when it was set to arrive. So, you know, I go there. We get the little voucher. They try to put me in a Days Inn. I say, listen, man, like, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. We got to, you know, upgrade a little bit. Like, I'm not doing that. You know, so we got into a somewhat better hotel. I was in a Holiday Inn, but yeah, man, I went there, went to bed, woke up, and was back on the at the airport. And of course, that plane ended up landing at 11:15 as opposed to 11. One of the beauties of playing college football, you got teammates in many cities. I have three teammates in Tampa. My guy Greg, my homie, he was able to come scoop me right there at the airport and shoot me right over to the Bucs facility. And I was able to get in there in time to watch Cam on the last drive, have a little bit of some disconnects on some throws. And that's the works, you know. And I just couldn't believe that I got there at 11:15 on Thursday instead of 12:44 a.m., Thursday morning, like I was supposed to.
That it's crazy, and I'm glad that you are already in Atlanta, so everyone will get your great coverage tomorrow, starting those joint practices. You got to spend a night in my neck of the woods. I grew up like 20 minutes from Dulles Airport, so
yeah.
So yeah, you got a little Northern Virginia up there. For me, honestly, I feel like I feel a lot better about my experience now after hearing yours. I was just going to talk about how the Detroit airport yesterday, I was coming back from Detroit, got to see my Tigers over the weekend, and just an absolute mess in the terminal. Three different lines, no one could tell where anyone was going. At some point, people are jumping into the standard security line, thinking it's TSA pre-check and vice versa. It was an absolute mess. It took over an hour to get from, you know, hopping out of the Uber at the airport to through security. Luckily, we got to our gate just as they were boarding. But I know there were probably lots of people who did miss their flight. So I just wanted to put that out there. I talked to Joe Rexrode, who is a Detroit guy. He said it's not typically like that. So I guess I just was there on maybe one of the worst days of the year.
No, I mean, it's always not typically like that when it goes wrong, right?
Right. So travel, never fun. The good news is TD is already in Atlanta for joint practices and the preseason game this week. Titans, I believe is it 9:30 tomorrow? Eastern time they get going?
You know what? I got to recheck the schedule. I think it's something like that.
Somewhere around there.
I don't
there.
Know for sure.
So we'll be on the air tomorrow, and we'll be checking in with TD's updates out there from Atlanta as the Titans and Falcons start their first of two joint practices. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. When we come back, an injury on Saturday night for Tajay Spears. What does it mean moving forward for the Titans running back and the room as a whole? We'll get into it. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Connor Newton, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.